Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, all of these verses you know. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 15. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Our kids are not always under our authority. Whether it seems impossible at this point or not, there's coming a day very quickly in which they will no longer be under our authority. But there's never a day in which they're not going to be under God's authority. And our real purpose is to place them under the accountability of God. And that's why I've entitled this, The Real Accountability. As they may get away with not being under your authority, and maybe there'll come a time where they'll say, well, you can't tell me what to do. Hopefully they won't say that. But it's a reality that's coming, but they're never going to be out from underneath the authority of God. They're always going to have to give an account to Him. They'll do so whether they want to or not. That's what the Word of God says. So our jobs as parents is to take them from a child, from a newborn infant, and get them to the point where they understand that they can operate under the principles of God's Word. Maturity doesn't mean that I get to make my own choices. Maturity means I get to make the right choices. When I demonstrate that I'm making the right choices, that's when I've demonstrated that I'm a mature person. Paul Chappell's book, A Firm Foundation, he says this, "Your children need to know that the Bible is a priority in your life. They need to see you read it, hear you talk about it. They need you to model to them a faithfulness to the Word of God." Every time that we try to discipline our children, we try to give them a Bible principle that they had violated. And give to them that verse so that they understood that although this may be a rule that Daddy has put into place, there's the Bible principle that you're one day going to have to obey. And I understand there's an essence in which they're having to obey it now, but I'm talking about kids who really don't understand all that. But they're coming to that point. I want to give them tools by which they can function in life in a godly way. Now, some of you are automatically thinking again tonight, well, wait a minute. We don't have kids in our home anymore. A lot of these things you're going to say tonight, I don't need. Can I tell you this? These 17 things, if you've already looked at your notes, you see how many points I have tonight. Some of you are really getting nervous. These 17 things are things we're supposed to be doing. So, yes, they're things we're supposed to be teaching our children, but we're supposed to be doing them because it's what God requires of us. And we're under His accountability, under His authority. And so that's important for us tonight. I hope you'll take some time to analyze these. And we're just going to walk through Scripture and give you, okay, here's a principle that God, that we know God says, therefore, as a result of this, I'm not going to allow my children these things, or in application to us, I'm not going to allow me to do this. And so we'll try to move as quickly as we can. Obviously, if we camp even a little while on every point, we'll be in trouble tonight. Well, I won't be in trouble. I'm enjoying it. You might be in trouble before it's over with, all right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you tonight that you would work in a real special way. Lord, we love our children, and we want them to ultimately be accountable to you. They are, but we want them to do so, be able to relate in a right way. And we pray that the principles that we give tonight will honor and glorify you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Caleb always comes out of class every night, and of course somebody always tells him what's going on, Aaron. And so So we'll just go ahead and tell the story tonight. When he was about, he had to be under two. He was a little guy. We had worked really hard in the yard that day, all of us, and we'd taken a load to the dump. And on our way back, I just moved into a convenience store and I said, "You kids have worked hard today. Daddy wants to buy you a snack and a drink." Oh boy, the car just exploded, you know, and all the giggling and all that kind of stuff. And so we all go marching into the store. They can pick a drink and anything they want in the store, candy, whatever. Well, Caleb grabs a candy bar, an Almond Joy, has coconut and nuts, you know, and all that in it. And he said to me, "Daddy, this is what I want." I said, "Bud, you don't like coconut." "Oh, yes, I do." I said, "No, you don't." I said, you don't like it. You're not going to like that." At that age, he looked up at me and said, "Are you telling me I can't have it?" Now, I had a choice right then to make. The easiest thing for me to do was to be to say, "I'm telling you, you can't have it," because I knew he wouldn't like it. But I said to him, "No, Daddy's not telling you you can't have it. I'm just telling you it wouldn't be a good idea." Well, he bought it anyway. All right. Now, you remember I have four women in my home, right? Don't forget that part of the story because this is important. We get to the car, get buckled in and everything. I crank it up and there is a wail from the back seat. I mean, you know. And I said to him, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I don't like it." Yeah, I kind of already knew that. And I said, "Daddy said you wouldn't like it." "I know." And he's crying, you know. And then he said, "Can I have a different one?" The answer to that question was, "No, you can't. You already made your choice." Now, if anybody in here has a half a heart, you already know that the rest of us didn't enjoy our snack, right? You already know, I mean, it gets stuck right here, trying to swallow it as he's boohooing in the back. But I wanted him to know that it was important that he has some accountability. There's going to be a day, and it's coming a lot quicker than it was back then, where he's going to ask me about a young lady. And that's just not a candy bar. That's a bigger decision. And I hope he'll listen to some advice that I've given him. But ultimately, the day is here already, really, in a lot of ways, in which his accountability is to God. And I want us to try to give that. So let's look at some passage of Scripture. I have printed these out so that we can move quickly, because if we turn to every one of these passages, we would be here a long time. But don't turn your brains off just because I'm reading them, all right? So number one in your notes tonight, what God wants for my child, or you could even put a slash me, God wants obedience. Obedience. Ephesians 6:1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Hebrews 13 and verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Romans 13, 1 through 5. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Brother Bob mentioned that tonight. We don't have to agree with them, but they're ordained of God. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." So God says, I want you to obey authority, imperfect authority. Because all authority, with the exception of God, is imperfect. Every one of them. But God says, I want you to obey. Therefore, I will not allow what? Disobedience. All right? So, therefore, in our home, we're not going to allow disobedience. Therefore, I will not allow disobedience in my own life. Because God requires of me obedience. Number two, goes hand in hand with this. What God wants for my child is respect for authority. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Hebrews 13, 17 again. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. And then the Romans 13 passage again. So God is asking us to respect those people that are in authority. Therefore, I will not allow a rebellious attitude or disrespect. I'm not going to allow the children to talk back, to have a disrespectful attitude, because God doesn't expect that. Again, we're not talking about perfect authority, because no one's perfect other than God. They're going to have imperfect policemen, and they're going to have imperfect government officials, and they're going to have imperfect teachers, and they're going to have imperfect parents, and they're going to have imperfect bosses, and they're going to have imperfect pastors, and so forth and so on. That's not the point. God says, I want them to be respectful of authority. Number three, God wants for my child patience. If you've got kids under the age of, well, if you've got kids, this one's a struggle, right? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. James 1 and verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So because of that, I will not allow impatience or shortness. No matter the circumstances. No matter the circumstances. Parents, can I just tell you something? It doesn't matter that your child is tired. Doesn't matter that it's been a long day. Doesn't matter that they're hungry. I've had parents, a kid will, you know, come up to somebody and they'll say, "No!" And they'll look and say, "They're tired." Well, bless their heart. I don't care if they're tired or not. It doesn't mean they can be disrespectful. It doesn't mean that they can be impatient. Because what you're subtly saying is that if there's a reason to sin, then it's okay to sin. Which is exactly the philosophy of the world. Well, that person did that crime because they were from that location. Or if they'd had a little more money, they would have done that crime. Or it's the policeman's fault. Or, right, Eric, you've heard all those before, right? You're excusing their sin. Now, is it harder to be patient when you're tired? Yes, it is very hard to be, all right? So we should work hard to put them in good situations, but it doesn't mean that they can disobey. Well, they've had a long day where they're hungry. That's why they're saying, "Now!" No, that doesn't give them a reason to do that. And so God says he wants patience. That is not fun to work on, is it? I'm not talking about children now. None of us like to be patient, really. I mean, you ever sat at a red light? You ought to come off the red light at 85 coming from my house, going on the frontage road. That red light's at least 15 minutes. No, I'm kidding. It's not. But man, it seems like it. That is a long red light. You're tapping your foot. You know, it's like, like all that's going to do you any good. Do you know the light's going to change the exact time it's supposed to anyway, right? We're impatient, but we need to teach them to be patient. Number four, God wants for my child self-control, and that is their attitude. Their attitude. Number of verses here. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Proverbs 16, 32, he that is slow to wrath is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 15, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. If you can't rule your attitude, you're defenseless. That's what God's word's saying. You have no defenses whatsoever. I had a number of years ago, a long time ago actually, we had a missionary stay in our home. And their children were incredibly behaved. I mean, we had a great time. There were 18 of us in the home, was there? And I got a fairly decent house, but 18 people in any house is a lot of people. And it was like clockwork. The final night that they were in our missions conference here at Emmanuel, years ago, I sat down with them and I said, look, something you're doing with your children is right. And so I'd like for you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. When you say that to someone, you just get ready, right? Okay, here it goes, you know. One of the things he said to us is that you do not need to allow them to have an attitude. And he said, matter of fact, I discipline my children 90% attitude, 10% actions. Wow. It totally changed how we disciplined our children. Because attitude is huge. Any teenager that's ever been to the wilds can tell you there's a pretty famous message out there, right, young people? Tom Farrell says, your attitude is your choice. Your attitude's your choice. You're like, no, it's not. I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. You hollered at that person or you lost. You could help that. Your attitude's your choice. You're like, well, the circumstances are bad. That doesn't have anything to do with your attitude. You're choosing that in those circumstances. So therefore, I will not allow unrestrained anger, temper tantrums, or prolonged self-pity. Unrestrained anger, temper tantrums, or prolonged self-pity. You say, what's prolonged self-pity? They got disciplined, and an hour later, they still look like it. You know? You're like, man, you're pretty good at that. I know that's because I had four kids. That's why, right? I mean, that's what they're doing all this time later. What are they doing? They're drawing attention to themselves. They're still trying to control the situation. Yes, you discipline them, but they can stop that. So I'm going to allow them self-control. Okay, here's what God's Word says. You need to rule your spirit. That's something you can choose to do. Number five, diligence. Diligence. God wants for my child diligence. You could put in there enthusiasm or the ability to work. A number of verses, again, that will help us here. Proverbs 6:6-11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 19. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God wants diligence or enthusiasm, the ability to work. Therefore, I will not allow laziness or a nonchalant disinterest. I'm not going to allow that. They're going to learn to work. Like, when? When they can learn to crawl and take steps, they can work. You're like, that is totally unfair. If they can take a toy out of the toy box and place it in the middle of the room, they can take a toy out of the middle of the room and put it in the toy box. Now, it may take you a little while to do that. Take their hand, come over there. By the way, you do know that it takes a lot longer to train a child than it does for you to do it yourself. It does. It takes some work to do that. But ultimately, that's going to be an advantage to you. They can start working. And matter of fact, you know what I have found with most little kids? They love it. If you have the attitude in the home, hey, this is fun. Help mama take out the trash, or daddy take out the trash, or help daddy do the dishes, or did you catch how I slept that in there? Dad's just didn't. Whatever it is around the home, they can do. They can start that process immediately. And we want them to learn to work. We ask our kids to work all the time. And they were a part of that home, and they could contribute to it. We had some of them that at times would try not to work. Our rule was, if you didn't work, you didn't eat. Actually, it's God's rule. We just happened to use it in our home. Like, ooh, That's abuse. You say, well, what if they starve to death? God knew that wouldn't happen. He knew that when people get hungry, they're going to go to work unless we feed them some other way. And it's true. It worked all the time. I only had one of my children try that. I won't tell you who it was, but it's the boy in the house. Number six. Poor guy. He's not in here tonight. What God wants for my child is kindness. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Therefore, I will not allow rudeness. I'm going to allow them to be rude. You can apply that in all kinds of ways. That you can train your children not to be rude. You say, well, some kids are ruder than others. Well, that just may be their sin process. That may be where they lean towards. But you can break them of that by training them. You're going to be kind to that person. Well, they don't want to be kind to them. Well, I know. You ever met somebody you didn't want to be kind to? Some of you sitting there looking at me, I know better. Right? We've all met those kinds of people, but that doesn't mean we get to choose to how we're going to react to them. God says we're to be kind one to another. Number seven, God wants courage and confidence. Courage and confidence. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Notice that I didn't say self-esteem. I said courage and confidence. Place before them things that they can conquer. That's important for children to be able to do that. Matter of fact, now I think it's particularly inbred in guys to conquer. If you'll look back at the book of Genesis, you'll find that one of the first things God told man to do was subdue and conquer. It's built inside of them. Give them opportunities to do that and give them the courage to be able to do it. Don't let them walk around in fear. Matter of fact, I would encourage you to continuously push your children out of their comfort zones. Like, they're uncomfortable doing that. Duh, that's kind of the point, you know? Probably never going to step out by faith unless you encourage them to be out of that comfort zone. So give them opportunities to do that and encourage them strongly to do that, and then praise them when they do, and do a good job with that. Number eight, God wants for my child happiness and joy. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Therefore, I will not allow a depression or complaining or negative attitude. Not going to allow it. Not going to allow them to walk around, I'm having a bad day. Well, you can choose to change that by focusing on something different. Now, I understand there are days we wake up and, man, it's like trying to, you know, pull a mule out of his bed. You know, it's like, wow, I got to get up and get going here. But I can still choose my attitude with that. And God says that he wants for us happiness and joy. And they can choose to do that. I'm not going to allow them to complain about what they have. God's been very good to us. I'm not going to allow a negative attitude. And I can work on that. Number nine. God wants for my child a love for others. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. James chapter 4 and verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. God says to us, hey, we need to be careful that we love other people. So therefore, I will not allow criticism. I'll not allow criticism. You say, well, their teacher was wrong. Okay, teach them how to respond to that. Well, that particular police officer did something. Okay, teach them how to respond to that. Don't allow them to be a critic. We've got enough of those running around. Okay? Focus on allowing them to choose that which is positive in the situation. All right, here's something good. All right, well, what about this? Could you have done something different? Well, that policeman was mean to me when he pulled me over. Why did he pull you over? Well, I was speeding. Well, you could have avoided that by not speeding, right? I mean, that would have been a simple way not to have interacted with him. Most policemen don't pull you over and goes, just wanted to tell you, you're doing a good job today. Thank you very much. Doesn't happen, right? So therefore, you can avoid that whole situation if we want to. So don't allow the criticism. That you say, well, what happens when an authority's wrong? Nothing wrong with you going and saying, hey, could you explain to me why you made this decision? And so forth. Nothing wrong with that. But I can tell you right now, authority is wrong. Automatically. It didn't matter what Sunday school class your kids are in here, they're wrong. Your pastor's going to be wrong. It's going to happen. So teach them how to respond to it properly. Number 10. The ability to get along. God wants for my child the ability to get along. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Romans 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Philippians 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Therefore, I will not allow quarreling. I'm not going to allow fighting in my home. They're not going to argue over that toy, or they're not going to, whatever it may be. We wished we had discovered this earlier in our home, but we did not until later in the process. But we had, again, two of our particular children that did not get along with each other very well. And they would constantly chammer at each other all the time. And someone recommended to us that every time you hear them arguing with each other, that you give them a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. Now, you may like that stuff, but it is rough to swallow. But it's actually very healthy for you. It's not damaging to you. A lot of people take it as a medicine or whatever. But I want to tell you, it stopped the fighting in our house. I mean, like, boom. Did you give it twice? One child twice. And they used to all the time quarrel. Whammo, man, it shut that off, whatever. Some of your kids are going, I wish you weren't preaching this tonight. You know? Don't allow it in your home. What you allow is what they will do. So don't allow it. Just say, hey, we're going to get along with each other. Notice these passive scripture don't say to us. They don't say to us that we get along with someone who gets along with us. It doesn't say that. We're supposed to get along with people. Matter of fact, we're supposed to defer to them. We're to treat them better than they deserve to be treated. But that doesn't come natural, does it? The ability to get along. Number 11. What God wants for my child is honesty. Honesty. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For he remembers one of another. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. God wants honesty. Therefore, we will not allow lying, cheating, or stealing. Not going to allow it. In our home particularly, lying was one of the worst offenses you could do. We actually gave double discipline for lying, because lying is one of those things that directly attacks the character of God. He is truth. And when we lie, we are like our father, the devil. That's what the Word of God says to us. That's a serious thing. When I was a boy, I remember walking into a grocery store. I was a little guy. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but there was an open pack of candy in the candy rack. And I rationalized in my mind that it's open, they can't sell it, therefore, I might as well help them. Somebody's got to do something with it, right? So I put the candy in my pocket. Now, it's interesting, I didn't ask my dad about it, and I didn't show it to him. When I got home, I took my brother to the back of the trailer and hid to eat it. Now, that ought to tell you what was really going on in my mind, right? I had worked in my mind to justify it, but I really knew what was up. Well, of course, it wasn't long before my dad discovered us and said, "What are you doing?" "Well, we're eating candy. Where'd you get it?" "From the store." "How'd you pay for it?" "Well, I didn't exactly pay for it." So I think we'd eaten one piece or two pieces when my dad discovered us. So guess what we did? We marched back to the store, right? And not only did I have to give the candy back, but I had to pay for the candy that I didn't get to keep with my bottle collection. Now, how many of you collected bottles as boys, all right? That was big time, right? That was like tragic to give up your bottle collection, all right? Anyway, you guys who didn't have to do that, it's not a big deal. And I had to stand before the manager of the store who my dad worked for. And this guy was about 30 foot tall. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't, but that's how he looked to me. And you know, in those some grocery stores did have them, the manager's office was kind of up in the middle of the store, you know. And he stood like on the top step, you know, so I'm this little tyke, you know, and I'm apologizing to him because I stole candy from his store and I'm paying back the money and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? I was probably 6. That's been a long time ago, and I haven't forgotten it. Matter of fact, I don't think I stole again for a really long time. You're like, "Did you steal again?" I did, but I'm not going to tell you about that one, right? I got in trouble for that one too. All right, but I remember it specifically, so we're not going to allow those things, all right? Number 12, God wants for my child wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Therefore, I will not allow ignorance and a lack of education." Now, notice I didn't say they need to be straight A students because they may not have that ability. But I'm not going to allow them to be ignorant. I'm not going to allow them to have a lack of education. That's important. They can't accomplish what God wants for them if they don't have that. So it becomes important for them, and make that a part of the structure of your home. We homeschooled our children for most of their years of education. Now, let me encourage you parents who are homeschooling, who are considering homeschooling, okay? Nothing wrong with that. If you want to homeschool them, great. But can I tell you, give them an education, okay? Don't let them be lazy, not do their work, come to their, you know, senior year and they can't read and write and so forth. That's a shame. Because you're not doing what God has asked you to do in the instruction of those children. You be diligent about what needs to happen in the structure of that home particularly. Number 13, God wants purity for my child. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, "Flee also youthful lust." Proverbs 21 and verse 8, "The way of a man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Therefore, I will not allow perverted thinking or wrong information about sex." In other words, I'm going to train them from God's Word. Because the devil loves to pervert that. But God created it. I'm going to use it as an opportunity. I'm not going to allow them to have perverted thinking. That means I'm going to have to put some things in my home, by the way. That means I'm going to have to put some safeguards in my home to keep them from getting stuff by accident out there, particularly in this internet age that we're dealing with. Number 14, God wants for my child friendliness. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, I will not allow shyness. I will not allow them to be shy. Someone has said, well, that's a character trait. Okay. There may be some people who are more naturally shy than others, but it doesn't mean they can't speak to people. Again, this missionary in our home, one of the things that he said to us was, you have a daughter that we were not in your home more than about a minute. And I spoke to her, and she refused to speak back to me. And you said, she's my shy one. And he said, you excused her rudeness. I needed to hear that. By the way, if I told you which one of my girls it was, you would be shocked because she is far from being shy today. But we worked on it particularly. From that point on, we said, no, ma'am, you're not allowed to do that. When someone speaks to you, you're going to speak to them. You're going to say hi. You say, was it harder for her? It could have been. But it doesn't mean, again, that they're not going to be friendly. God wants them to be friendly. And so therefore, we won't allow the shyness to take place. Number 15. God wants for my child dependability, loyalty, or responsibility and faithfulness. So you can use whatever word you want to use there. Dependability, loyalty, responsibility, and faithfulness. Proverbs 11 and verse 3. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Proverbs 25 and verse 19. Confidence and an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And what does God require in stewards? That a man be found faithful. That's what God wants. He doesn't say multi-talented or anything else. He just says faithful. Therefore, we will not allow irresponsibility. We'll not allow irresponsibility. They're going to do what they're asked to do in a right way. I think it's a Patch the Pirate song, but I can't remember if it is or not. Some of you can probably remember that. But we used to have a little saying around our house all the time, finish the job. Finish the job. Finish the job. Patch the Pirate song? Yes, I thought it was. Okay. Finish the job. Finish the job. Get it done. Right? We would say that. Man, my kids would be like, ooh, you know. Well, do the job that you're asked to do, because that's responsible to do that. Number 16. God wants for my child servanthood. Servanthood. Philippians 2, 3 through 7. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Matthew 20, 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Matthew 23 and verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Jesus said, if I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. Therefore, I will not allow selfishness. No kind of selfishness. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's done. Our daughter Sarah and Dan, who are in Virginia, have a rule in their house. It doesn't matter who's at fault. It doesn't matter. Period. If a toy's fought over it, nobody gets it. Case closed. Toy's done. I think that's a great rule. It teaches the one not to fight and the other not to fight. It teaches one who really wants it not to be selfish. Well, I better give that up or we're not either one going to be able to play with it. It's teaching them to give. You're like, well, man, I don't like that. I know. Most of us don't. But it's important for us to do. And then number 17. What God wants for my child, God wants glory in all things. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. John 9:33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Therefore, we will not allow pride. Not allowed to be there. Puffed up spirit, pride is gone. We're going to deal with that every time when it comes to things. Now, you have blanks there because probably some of you can think of some more that need to go in that process there and what you will not allow. These things are not something that happens by default. Because our default mode is to do wrong, isn't it? That's what it is. So it takes us to be active in working through some of these things. The most critical thing for most of us in this room, though there are many in this room who are children, most of us in this room are adults. It's difficult for us to quote a Bible verse to a child and tell them they have to do something when we're not doing it. It's not only difficult, it causes rebellion. That's what happens. When we disciplined our children, we always had them go to a particular location, and we told them to go there and we would wait. Now, this was when they were older. When they're small, you need to deal with them immediately. And many times, on my way to that location, as I'm thinking of the Bible verse I'm going to use for them, because I want as much as I can to put them back in accountability with the Word of God. Now, there were some times when the simple rule was, because Daddy said so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There are some things that are like that. But if I can give them another Bible principle, then I want to do that. And many times, as I'm walking to this room to deal with them, you know, he that hath no rule over his own spirit's like a city broken down without God, God's going, hello. Yes, sir, I got it. Yeah, I'm going to have rule over my spirit too. Many times, God would use the scripture passage that I'm about to use with them on something in my life, either immediately or something that had already happened in the day. He's using that scripture to say, hello, you need to get this right too. Hey, how you feeling right now? You pretty mad? I could wring his neck for doing that. Yeah, I know. Don't forget you need to rule your spirit. Yeah, okay. I mean, that's what the power of the Word of God does. It helps us. We need it. We need the control of the Word of God too. And so it helps us to work through that process, because the real accountability is God and His Word. That's what we have to do. That's important for us. Father, thank you for your Word. There's much more that could be said tonight, but we pray that it will help your people both personally and as they rear their children, that they'll implement some of these things in their hearts and lives. We thank you that we have a copy of God's Word that we can use. We can draw principles and truths from it. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.